Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue our continuation of reading from Srila Prabhupada's Shikshamrita, letters written by Srila Prabhupada. This is a new subsection today. We're reading from the section chanting, and this section is called Songs and Bhajans. Songs and Bhajans. Letter dated June 6, 1967. Prabhupada writes, The record which you have sent singing, Sri Ramanjaya, Rama Jaya, Jaya Rama, and other kirtans is really a new term, and we have enjoyed the record so nicely. This Narada Muni song is in our country tune, and I think it will attract many more of the common men to join the kirtans. So you should practice this standard kirtan more conveniently, so that during your Rath Yatra festival, you can have this singing with this procession, with the procession. I am pleased to learn that you are singing the Chintamani prayers of Brahma Samhita. This Brahma Samhita contains the highest of all spiritual knowledge. In lecturing too, if we sing a verse from Brahma Samhita and then nicely explain the meaning, it will be very much appreciated. These are prayers by Lord Brahma, and contained within the Brahma Samhita, it's given a very interesting description of different things in relationship to the spiritual world. And often, as it says, some of you will be taking second initiation, and then you'll be doing deity service. Sometimes the pujaris play this while they're doing the deity service, dressing the deities or bathing the deities. That is giving direct glorification to the Lord, and is connected with the spiritual atmosphere. So Prabhupada says he is pleased that devotees are singing such prayers. As we were discussing about mantra and prayers and rhythm and things, that what you sing, what you say, that becomes a mantra, and it has a reinforcing effect on the consciousness. So what to say of singing prayers directly glorifying the Lord in His most personal, intimate form. In lecturing too, if you sing a verse from this Brahma Samhita and then nicely explain the meaning, it will be very much appreciated. Just as Krishna is the all-attractive principle, so similarly, these Krishna kathas of the Brahma Samhita are all attractive and will gain favorable attention from the listeners. Regarding the prayers of Narottam Das, the court, you will be pleased to know that we have taped these prayers, and these tapes shall be reproduced by Dinesh for all of the sinners, along with others, and also be sent out is a transliteration and translation of these prayers. So I think you may wait for these. It's very nice sometimes as we go through some of the songs or look at the songbook and take notice what the English translation of some of these prayers are, because these prayers are a very intimate expression of these pure devotees, these Mahabhagavatas. They are exchanges of love. They are expressions and extensions of their depth of bhakti, and it's like they are sharing it with anyone who takes close notice of the meaning of those prayers and tries to enter into those prayers. You see, as you look at the prayers of Narottam or Bhakti Vinod, etc., we sing them, even the ones that we sing on a day-to-day basis. The Samsara prayers, Guru Puja prayers, all of these prayers, Tulsi prayers, we look at the meaning of what is being said. It's very, very intense. Just take notice of the meaning. When you look at the English of the Tulsi prayer, You see the tremendous offering that is being made. And as the singer tries to enter into that spirit, then one catches up more with the current of that love. As we sing the morning prayers, each prayer is being sung. The samsara, the pranam prayer, we sing the prayer of the Lord Chaitanya, and then the singing day prayer. We should time to time think of what we're saying. Think of the English of that. While we're singing as well as when we are doing different services, because those prayers are direct bridges allowing us to know how to think. Something about the consciousness of devotion that's necessary in order to be able to have that love of the Lord. It's sometimes in mundane situations, someone is writing a poem or writing a song in commemoration of an anniversary or as an expression of their affection for someone else, and they pour so much of their mentality into the prayer. Sometimes a song or a prayer can give so much depth and so much connotations more than if you just wrote just a paragraph itself, or you just spoke something. Because the song puts more life into an expression in something sometimes just spoken in such a way. As we see people serenade, or one plays bhajan, or sometimes devotee is in a mood of intenseness and just wants to sing, sing to the deities, etc. These are the deep exchanges that can grow as we understand more about the essence of such prayers, how they are can be personally received by the Lord. As Krishna is in everyone's heart, and as Krishna is in the Archa Vigraha, he's in the deity form, he's in everyone's heart. And of course from him, Savasaham Sanivisto Mataksmitya Tam Gyana Pohanam Cha. From him is coming knowledge as well as forgetfulness. So our forgetfulness of the Lord from day to day, as well as lifetime to lifetime, is provided by Krishna, inasmuch as that he gives us that kind of body, mind, intelligence, instances. We come into this world, it's as if we are getting ready for a drama. And then each person has different role to play, different costume. And so according to what you're going to do on the stage, then you're given a certain outfit. So somebody is going to be, is going to be the gangster, so they have a certain outfit. Someone is going to be, the do-gooder. Someone is going to be the bank teller. Someone is going to be the robber. So dress you up accordingly, and then hope that you don't forget your lines. So we come into this world, this is arranged somewhat similar. Based on our previous consciousness, based on the resultant of each person's desires, then the assistance of the Lord, higher authorities, demigods, their agents of Yamaraj, then they monitor, they take notice of the living entity's previous activities and desires. They particularly take notice of what things were most dominant in that person's consciousness. And according to what was most dominant, what they put more energy into, more thoughts into, what the greater aspirations of such person, then they respond to that. So in that case, we really create our own future. Because what we're putting so much into, whatever system we're putting so much into, trying to acquire distinction, adoration, prestige, then, okay. So that's what we have built up on, and so we'll draw something similar. We put so much distinction on trying to make money, put so much distinction on security, on this and that, so we get all the different types of bodies. We put too much absorption, even in sex life, that we get a body that lets us come back to perform those things with more ease. In other words, whatever the stronger desires are, then the Lord arranges indirectly through his agents for us to have more facility to fulfill that. So if we are trying very, very hard and trying to be transcendental, less and less disturbed by the patterns of this world, And to that degree, we'll get senses, mind, body to accommodate that. Now, what does it say? If we have inner consciousness, well, we are entering more into the books. Excuse me, more into the songs, more into the whole mindset of those liberated souls. Then a material body will not be sufficient for such consciousness. There'll be no need to have a material body, because the thought patterns and the desires are not about the material world. One is just interacting in such an environment because that is the suit that one happens to have. One is not making a big thing of that. So because of that, the person's consciousness will not be of such of having the need for a material body. And to the degree that it is, then that is the degree of grossness. It's like some people's minds, intelligence, and bodies have no interest in anything theistic. They're very atheistic. Some, because of a certain degree of enviousness of the Lord, they are interested in something spiritual, but only in a superficial way of trying to address the Lord because they need something, they want something, or they are trying to approach the Lord in an impersonal posture. They are not in a mindset of personal reciprocation, of desiring personal exchange. They're not in a mindset of making personal offerings to the Lord. And so therefore, there's no need for them to have a body that is able to sing, dance, to associate with the Lord in that extent. So we have to be more careful about what we think each day. Have to look a little closer and take inventory about what kind of thoughts are dominant in our consciousness, and then immediately we can see each day why we are in such a state of reflection. We can see why we're happy, or why we're sad, or why we're anxious, etc. Because we are building something based on such thoughts. So now these great souls, knowing our construction of how we are constantly stacking up superfluous and necessary things, maintaining the temporary, then they just come in with these beautiful songs and bhajans and prayers and books as a way to try to bring us to jiva jago. We wake up, arise, realize our identity as spirit soul. So they sneak in into the atmosphere, so to speak, by giving us something to connect with, as everyone likes to sing, likes to dance, likes to eat. All of these things can be done, but for the Lord in such a way. But the demons also know these things. They try to then distract living entities more and more away from the anti-material by putting them more in the gross state. And what to say of now, with so much of the lyrics, of so much of the songs that people are hearing, and the repetitions, and the hypnotic effects, etc., of how so much is being carried through the mediums, of music. As anyone can see, that you put certain type of music on, you play, or you hear certain music, sometimes some music makes you very peaceful. Other type of music makes you feel tense. Other types of music makes you feel even angry, agitated, lusty. Makes you feel like you have to run out and do something. You have to grab somebody, you have to do this, you have to run, you have to satisfy some urges, according to how the sound vibration is affecting the mind and affecting the chakras, or the areas in the body where there is a storage of certain subtle or psychic energy, as sound vibration affects other vibration. In one sense, the whole physical body and matter itself is just a matter of atoms, molecules, neutrons, protons vibrating at a certain rate or intensity. So therefore, in one sense, everything breaks down to sound. And then, of course, goes farther to spirit. But things, matter breaks down to sound. So then sound has effect on matter. And sound has effect on other sounds. And sound has an effect, direct effect, on consciousness. I probably said in the next letter, I am so pleased to read your letter of January the 21st, 1969, and to learn of your sincere eagerness to serve Krishna in the best capacity of your talents. There is a Sanskrit proverb that says, there is not any better knowledge than to become a musician. Our Krishna conscious movement is practically based upon music and dancing. If by your exceptional qualities you can help in this movement, I think you have been sent by Krishna himself to help me in this connection. I have one nice disciple, Michael Grant, that's Mukunda, who is a very good composer of Western music. He was earning lots of money in New York as a professional music teacher, but since he has become my disciple, he has dedicated his life for propagating his movement along with his wife. I shall be glad if you immediately contact him in London. I've got a very ambitious program to organize a nice Sankirtan party, both in the Orient and Occidental style. Remember, there are different styles of kirtan, different styles of bhajan, different styles. You see, as we look at some of the life examples of the pure devotees, we see how, just like Mr. Narottam, had his own style, special style of kirtan. And we see that devotees in places like Manipur, they have a certain aspect of the kirtan, certain cultural aspect that brings in the nice sweetness. I have got a very ambitious program, but in Oriental and Occidental style, so that we can thus attract all classes of people in the world of Krishna consciousness. In other words, everyone should feel that Krishna consciousness is for them. It is not to be an imposition, because it is the universal knowledge and universal culture. And it is devotee's duty to try to let everyone feel that Krishna is their best friend, or their ultimate protector, ultimately the greatest lover, the greatest friend, etc. Regarding the Ragipati Raghava song, we're not concerned with this song because it has a political motive. It's like sometimes people have translated the Bhagavad Gita, and they've translated it in such a way to make it poetic or historical, with the major emphasis in that sense more than philosophical. And so what happens in such translations, that they lose the actual heart of the text, and they interpolate, speculate, engage in conjecture, and start giving some idea of what they think Krishna is saying, or giving some allegories, etc., rather than dealing with the actual subject matter, and letting Krishna speak for himself. So sometimes people will use these sort of things in such a way that they will push their own idea or concern. So Prabhupada says, regarding the Raghupati Raghava song, we are not concerned with this song because it has a political motive. It is not pure devotional service. Gandhi was a great statesman in the garb of a saintly person, so that the Indian population would blindly follow him. But his motive was political, and we are therefore not very interested with it. However, you can sing the first two lines. In other words, what Prabhupada is emphasizing here is, although the words themselves addressing, Lord Ram, but he's showing how sometimes even in music there can be some political connections. One has to be a little careful about what they're singing, what the lyrics are, and even sometimes what the rhythms are. Because sometimes some things are such a build-up that it just makes aggression. Regarding your questions about various names of God, we have nothing to do with Jehovah, Allah, Jesus, etc. If somebody else wants to chant this way, it is all right. Let them do that. But as far as we're concerned, we should be satisfied with chanting the Krishna mantra. Now, of course, Prabhupada in several places says there's no hard and fast rule by chanting the names of the Lord. Or Prabhupada in certain places emphasizes that any name of God that you chant, that it is potent. Well, yes, that is true, but at the same time, different names connotate about different aspects of the Godhead. Just as somebody can have many, many names. And so what happens is that even though they have many names, a name addresses certain activities or certain aspects about the person's character. Someone calls a person by a nickname in relationship to where they lived and played when they were young. Somebody calls them by another name, by the name that they were known in school. Someone calls them by a certain name that they were referred to in the university or in college. Or someone calls them a name in relationship to their father, such and such son, etc. So each of these names are there, but each name is kind of connecting with a certain aspect of the person's personality, activities, etc. So when we are calling on the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna, then we are connecting and addressing the activities of the Lord, who has impersonal aspects, who has different energies, external, marginal, internal, and who at the same time has created and maintained all of creation, but is at the same time outside of the creation and can be related to through different Rasa exchanges. Well, if we call Lord Narayan, we're talking about the Lord in the sense of being served and worshiped, the Lord in the heart, or referring to the Lord who is served in awe and reverence. So there is different connection. We speak in terms of Lord Ram or Allah or Jehovah. We're talking about God mainly in Allah, Jehovah, the Lord mainly in terms of the Godhead, in terms of the Creator, etc., and the Maintainer. Not in terms of the Lord so much as friend, or the Lord so much as the child, etc. So there's a section in Chaitanya Charitamrita that explains how so many names of Ram are equal to so many names of Krishna. How many more names it takes of Ram equal the name of Krishna. We have registered our association particularly under the name of Krishna. God has millions of names, undoubtedly, but we are especially concerned with the name of Krishna, because we are in the specific succession of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who chanted this holy name of Krishna. Everyone should be particular to his particular specific succession or sampradaya's relative principles. That is required, much as there are many different political parties, although everyone is meant to serve the country. I have already acknowledged receipt of your nicely taped kirtan recording. I think that the madanga sound should be a little more increased, and the tambora sound should be decreased. When the chorus is chanting in response to the leader, the madanga is not very distinctly heard. Therefore, it should be increased. As for when this record will be pressed, I think this should be done as soon as possible, because everyone is already wanting this record. If you cannot get it pressed immediately, then I have asked Brahmananda to arrange for the pressing. I have heard that Dynapon Company can give such pressing at a competitive price. The jacket design you have described sounds nice, so you may develop it in this way. Regarding the presentation of the Govindam, as well as other mantras, the vibration is always pure. These are the prayers, Govinda Mani Purusham. I will give the theme, and if the sound is westernized, that does not matter. But another point is that specific sound of kirtan as I sing is also another introduction of the art that can be intermingled with the Western art. So here Prabhupada was giving devotees an idea of how to intermingle the song, the music in such a way that it would have a Western and non-Western flavor to it. And such combination will certainly be appreciated. But so far, I know that the kirtan tune is a specific representation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and this tune is appreciated all over India as unique. They say that the kirtan tune is a specific gift of Bengal, and that is a fact. So why not utilize this tune in the Western countries under the able guidance of such expert musicians as George Harrison? The first two lines of the song, Hari Haraya Namaha Krishna was sung by Lord Chaitanya and his followers. But the other lines of the song were composed later on by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. My opinion is that it is not necessary for us to utilize, this is another letter, for us to utilize these different musical talents for spreading Krishna consciousness. I would rather see people follow strictly the path of Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan devotees. We are using madanga, kartals, that is enough. We are not musicians, we are Krishna bhaktas. Therefore, we do not stress so much importance in his different musical talents. So now, here we see, just one or two letters earlier, Prabhupada is saying we can mingle the Western and the non-Western. And then he's saying how one type of kirtan is Bengal King kirtan. And then he's emphasizing that not so necessary to think that we are musicians. Now, what is the contradiction? No contradiction. It's that someone can become so involved in the idea of the music that they can make that their worship, in as much as that they can become so much into the idea of performing that they push the God out the way and they become the center of the absorption, or they can become so much absorbed in even trying to do something so expert that they lose the actual bhakti. There's one example. Once in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was in his room, and one of our devotees, who was a really fantastic musician, he was playing harmonium and he was singing like really, really sweet. And Prabhupada yelled down into the courtyard, "Who is the demon down there, Chen?" And some people were shocked, but later people could understand, because the devotee later blooped, that the devotee was expert, but the devotee was like chanting from the deity with the idea that everybody listened to him and enjoy his expertness. And Prabhupada, since that, was disturbed, because here the chanting from the deity and chanting and Vrindavan, such a sanctified place, is a time to render service and to fix the mind in selflessness and to fix the heart in pleading out and crying out and directing it to the Lord and trying to serve the Vaishnavas and trying to enter into the whole consciousness of Vrindavan consciousness. Here someone is having expertness, as a musician, and he might as well be in a disco, playing and letting everyone be able to enjoy his excellence, rather than the purports of the song, or rather than the cry of devotion. So sometimes Prabhupada gives some warning that we're not musicians, but we are devotees who may be musicians, or maybe cooks, or maybe artists, or maybe lawyers, and maybe psychologists, doctors, etc. And if one is in that consciousness, then the action or the activity becomes an offering to the Lord. It becomes imbibed, with devotion. But if we are something material first and trying to put in some devotion, then the whole potency will be altogether different. And one can even get distracted by men having no time for chanting, no time for association, no time for the devotional things, because one is having a kind of idealistic conception that I am a musician and I'm going to do something very, very spiritual when I become a famous, very famous musician. So I put all my time like that, and therefore I don't have time to read or other things. I stay in the studio all the time making the record that's going to be very famous and going to make millions of dollars and etc. And at the same time, while I'm trying like that, my devotion just goes down, down, down. Therefore, Prabhupada says, we do not stress so much importance on these different musical talents. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. Had he thought it would be better to spread Krishna consciousness by another way, he would have done so. But not simply with madanga and kartals, traveling and chanting. Krishna is asking everyone to chant the Krishna mantra. Preaching simple Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy, that is process. Therefore, I request you to follow the simple path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keep yourself pure and fixed up in Krishna consciousness by following the basic principles that I have given. And then he, Prabhupada, tunes in and addresses the position about how to keep pure so that there's not a deviation. He says, so chanting 16 rounds daily. and of course following the four regular principles. Rising early, attending Mangalwar teaching classes. Then Prabhupada ends the letter to this GBC, says, and this is the utmost importance. So that becomes a foundation that we build everything else upon. And something that somehow takes away from that, then we know that that is unfavorable. The idea is accept things favorable for devotion, reject things that are not. Things that are unfavorable, they take away from our interest and enthusiasm in following the principles. Concerning the recordings of Krishna Das Babaji, how can I make any judgment as I have not heard them? However, you should just go on chanting the Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, and the Pancha Tattva mantra, and don't divert your attention. You cannot understand the meaning of Indian songs, and simply parrot-like chanting of these songs has no value. Then Prabhupada gives a few letters on temple kirtan. Hope you are all well in performing kirtan regularly. Kirtananda has learned one tune to be sung in the morning, which you should please practice as far as possible. Kirtan means both lecturing and chanting with music. It's both the same. The speaking, giving out the message about the Lord is kirtan, the propagation of the names of God, the message of the Lord, understanding what one's relationship is to the Lord. And the chanting, the japa, the chanting in terms of songs, bhajans, these are all kirtan, and that is hearing, remembering, chanting about the Lord. It is very encouraging to me to hear of so many activities of performing kirtan there. Kirtan is a universal principle. This has the quality in terms of the intensity of the kirtan affects each person's consciousness and affects the collective atmosphere. Just as I was mentioning how sometimes in Prabhupada, most times Prabhupada would stay in the temple. Sometimes he would stay maybe at someone's house, or in some rare case, maybe at a hotel, or visit a new environment. He would chant kirtan, chant japa, even sometimes light incense, just to purify that room, purify the atmosphere. Because every place is so much captured by all kind of negative deeds and thoughts that remain just hovering over in the environments. So the kirtan has a cleansing effect. We were discussing yesterday in the section on chanting how sometimes in Mayapur, especially during international meetings, the pujaris there go from room to room with frankincense, blowing conch shell, and singing kirtan and the Shingadev prayers, Ryan Kavachi prayers, as a way of chasing out ghosts, big powerful ghosts. Because when there is a great emphasis on spiritual activities, there's also great kinds of attacks or other polarities that are also drawn. So therefore, to clear the atmosphere, and especially from, you know, Brahma Rakshasas, or like entities who have even pursued the Vedic scheme and have gotten certain power, but have deviated, lose their bodies, and sometimes they also hover around as like ghosts. So now with so much ghostliness in different environments, by the kirtan, by the chanting, by the purifying the atmosphere, one's own mind, as well as the environment, then it raises the consciousness to the point that it can raise the atmosphere to where, this is once in New York, the audience were having a very powerful kirtan. And Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasa seat. Some of you may remember that story. And he was just smiling and smiling, looking over in different areas. And then later when Prabhupada retired to his room, some of the devotees were asking why Prabhupada was smiling so much and sort of looking off, you know, like at a distance. And Prabhupada said that Narada Muni had come to the kirtan, and that he explained how sometimes when the kirtans are very powerful, then they may even attract. Just as we were saying how people now are doing seances and Satan worship and witchcraft, and they literally draw so many negative beings. They draw so many disembodied entities who then possess them and get more power by feeding off the energies of others. Well, just as such negative things go by sound vibration and by certain mantras and certain chantings and certain mindsets, then as there is more intensified exchanges of devotion in terms of the chanting and in terms of the collective potent energy, then it draws more and more devotional reinforcement. That is why it spiritual life is like an investment, that as you become more pinpointed in devotion, then you get a chance to become even more pinpointed, because you then align with more and more of a higher type of energy. And that's why association is a very serious thing, because if you associate in environments where there's too much dullness, then you also become dull. You associate environments where there's too much prajalpa or whimsical talk or gossip or fault finding, then you also become that. If you associate with an environment where there is intensity about trying to renounce, trying to simplify your life, trying to keep Krishna forefront, trying to see how to deal with the material things so that you can have more time by accessing the spiritual, in environments where you're constantly thinking that in this lifetime you want to do whatever is necessary, go back to the kingdom of God, then what happens is that as you're in that environment, you get infected by the atmosphere. Just as if you in an environment where there is contagious disease, which is all over now, whether it's AIDS or tuberculosis or this or that. So by being in such an environment, then your own resistance gets affected. And in situations where the material disease is so much on the rise and it's so infectious, it is very important that we enter more into the reading of the literatures and more into the understanding of the bhajans and kirtans, what the message is, as we try to constantly take all of the books and the activities as a window in observing what is to be done, how it is to be done, so that we do that, so that we, when leaving this body, we're not any different from what we have been reading and thinking about. We've already so much begun to align with that, so that our collective thoughts and the resultant of our situation is that that's what's been more of what we've been investing in, and now that's what we now have. But if we've been listening to so many other types of vibrations, of so much mundane music, mundane conversations, mundane aspirations, or when in an environment where people are beginning to make Krishna consciousness a religion rather than a cultural experience. Religion means that I do it when I can, as I can, and that's all right. Religion means I go to the church, or I go Sunday to Sunday worship, or maybe I'm a Sabbath worshiper, or I'm Muslim, I'm a Friday worshiper. So I go and I do my thing, you know, on that day. I've covered my God stuff, and pretty much now I do my other stuff, and that's my life. So that is religion, where it is not waking up in the morning, going to bed every night in the spirit of taking inventory to see, what did you do for Krishna today? What did you do for Guru? What did you do today that allows you to feel a well-beingness, that you made some amendment to conscious raising? What did you do today that it can make you feel secure that the day you did something to give more arrangement for a higher spiritual energy to come on the planet? What did you specifically do today to encourage someone in knowing that God, that Krishna is a lovable God? What did you do today that added to the general supply of devotion? And if you can't say yes, yes, yes in those areas, it means much of your life is a waste. Because this particular body, human form, is an escape body. It is designed so that we can be in a situation where we can have all the experiences of the duality, of the frustration, of the anxiety, of the fears and whatnot, so that we can see and analyze all of that and now make a transition. So, if we're working, then we can see how the fruits of our work is being used directly and indirectly for conscious raising. So therefore, we can see, oh, yes, this work, I'm not getting the karma from this stuff. Because everything we do now material energy, in one extent or another, is actually contaminating. And every time you even shake somebody's hand, you're getting contaminated. Every time you're in somebody's aura space, you're getting contaminated. Every time you move down the streets, you're being bombarded by somebody's thoughts, somebody's lust, somebody's anxiety, somebody's fear, someone's atheistness. Every time you buy something, you're supporting crime, you're supporting murder. Every time you buy something, so you're paying taxes, and therefore your money is being used for the weapons industry. Your money is being used for suppressing people in many places in the world. Money is being used, for nuclear armaments. Your money is being used, channeled through the mafia, channeled through for prostitution, for crime, for this, for that. The same dollar just went in your hand is a dollar that somebody just got from the lottery. But the whole place is contaminated, like anything. Now, the difference is that as someone is devotional, and they are also having to deal with some of these things, but they are not having to deal with the karma of those situations to the degree that they are in a consciousness of service to the Lord. Otherwise, you see how entangling it is in getting out of the material world, because you're just constantly getting more and more stuff added on you, as if it's just pushing you down, unless there is a tight sadhana and there is a tight line of devotion where one becomes less and less affected as Krishna then compensates or brings one in. Just to give an example the other day, in Karmakanda, you see Shastra. The Prabhupada mentions something about it in the Nectar Devotion in TLC. How, like when you give to somebody, then there's karma involved. You give something to a person or do something, then the law of reciprocity of karma, what you do comes back. But like, and I give an example of how sometimes philanthropic, especially Indian men, understand this science, and they build a temple, and some Muslims also. So they build a temple, or they give for an orphanage, or they do this, do that. But they're really realizing, by doing this, my business is going to expand many times over. Because I have put something in like this, and I know the science that if you do something in a pious mood, etc., then that comes back. And so you'll find sometimes these huge, huge corporations that the immediate bureaucracy is very intense. Then you find the president of the corporation, some very, very simple, pious gentleman who's managing multi millions of dollars, and they are performing some devotion every day on a regular basis, and very kind to spiritualists, and contributing like this, because they are knowing something about the actual science. But it may be sometimes foolish that they're doing it for particular reciprocation in the material scheme, but this is how the karmic situation breaks down. So when we are in our mind thinking that, so I'm sweeping this floor and I'm cleaning my heart by doing this, sweeping temple floor, or I have a job, I have to clean offices, clean floors, I have a job where I have to be an accountant, I have a job where I have to be a doctor, I have a job where I have to be a secretary, whatnot. So then the question is, three. One, what do you do on that job? So on that job, you're smoking, drinking, get engaged in too much whimsicalness, then a waste of vital energy, and maybe even sinful activities. Or on that job, are you doing that job in the sense that, okay, I'm doing this to help me, one, in maintaining my material situation so that I have less and less distraction in being able to perform my real life, my spiritual activities. Because if I don't have a roof over my head or some food or this or that, then I'll just be in total distress. How can I chant? How can I take care of my family? Et cetera, et cetera. So it's not always sometimes a matter of what you do, but in the conscious that you do it in. And even something that there's no way how to dovetail it. In some jobs you can dovetail it, and that there's ways that you can really begin to think more of Krishna by the actual activity. But in some jobs where you can't dovetail it, then it's based on what you do with the results of your particular work. And that is why every system, every orthodox system, has the idea of tithing, where it's a voluntary commitment of somehow giving some fruits of one's labor or fruits of one's finances. It could be either way, But a commitment where one is doing something, and that becomes spiritualized or becomes purified, because it is now also an offering, even more directly to the service of the Lord. So, as we make religion, as we have something as a religion, then we just kind of fit it in. But as it's a part of our life, then everything we do is situated around that. We take very good care of our children because we want to see that they get the best what we can offer. We take very good care with our wife, our husband, because we're realizing I'm the caretaker for Krishna. But that care means that we're looking not only at the physical, because what is that? You can do all kind of physical things of help with someone, and the person goes to hell and you go to hell also. But it's a matter of really caring, knowing that the goal of life is about liberation. The goal of life is about being in the world but not being of it, so that you are now packing and preparing to go to your real home, where there is the actual reality. All these other environments are just a temporary reality, because there is creation, maintenance, annihilation, and everything is destroyed or dwindles in the material atmosphere. So because everything is dwindling, one who is intelligent is not trying to make it permanent, nor...